Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is a bonus episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Now, as ever, let's begin by banging these bongos. Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Well, today I'm taking you to meet another artist from the New Artist Fair, which is on at the Truman Brewery, Brick Lane, from Friday the 23rd through to Sunday the 25th of September, and that is Mr. John Ball. John, like myself, put the art world on the back burner just after university, only painting occasionally, until a few years ago when he visited Banksy's Dismal Land in Western Supermount, which sort of ignited the fire in the furnace, you know, and got him painting again, but in a slightly different direction, which led to him entering a certain art competition, the repercussions of which had him invited all around the world to paint. Oh, and just before I introduce you to John, during this episode, he does mention an artist who does highly detailed graphite drawings of throwaway objects. He couldn't think of her name at the time, but just after we stopped recording, he remembered it was Alana Doten. And as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, John is showing and selling his work at the New Artist Fair at the Truman Brewery, just off Brick Lane, from Friday the 23rd to Sunday the 25th of September. That said, please come and join me with painter and all-round lovely bloke, Mr. John Ball. I will learn at the same rate as whoever's listening. But I do have seven questions that I ask each artist. And the first would be, how would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
Just tell them I'm a painter. And then they ask me what I paint, and I tell them I paint miserable landscapes, I suppose.
Yeah, see, yeah, you're saying miserable landscapes. I don't see them like that. I see them as quite honest.
I think I'm just looking at different things than perhaps your sort of regular Joe is looking for, yeah, in a landscape. They might be looking for sort of trees and hills and a river.
People look for the beauty and try and enhance the beauty, whereas it looks like you do the opposite. You try to look for the ugly or the discarded and highlight that.
Yeah.
Which really appeals to me.
Yeah, well, I think, but there's beauty in that.
Of course.
And then maybe your average person isn't necessarily looking for that in a painting, but, yeah. And when maybe they're not really looking at it when they're walking around the streets, they're not looking at that abandoned car park or that underpass, they're not seeing the beauty in that, because, yeah, they see it every day.
That's what
but as soon as you start looking at that in the medium of a painting, that I think it changes it. Even just by looking at it in that format, you start looking at it differently.
Well, I've noticed doing these and speaking to artists, people, artists that pull that out in their work are generally more of the working class people that pull that out. It's as if we're taking a bit of us with them into this sort of world. It's as if we're bringing a bit of our working class with us, is what I've discovered anyway.
Yeah, I suppose you're looking at what's around you, aren't you? So if your environment is an urban environment, you're looking at urban subjects. And if you live in a lake district, or then you're going to be looking at trees and lakes, yeah, and mountains, and more scenic, I suppose.
Did you have art in the home growing up?
My mother was an art teacher when she was younger, so there's always a bit of creative end. But my father was an engineer, so there's a little bit more of the sort of technical side, yeah, from him. Yeah. So I could have had a good mix, I think.
That's always good. So you've got the aesthetic and the technical.
Yeah.
And where was that you grew up?
I grew up in the West Country, actually.
Oh, did you?
I was born outside of London, like Watford,
yeah,
sort of way, but moved out to the West Country, I think I was about seven. Nice. So it was very scenic.
Yeah.
In a sense, I mean, there's a lot of fields and there's a few trees, you know, greenery, and some hills. Yeah. It was quite green. So I think I sort of rebelled against that,
yeah,
a little, moved into the city sort of for college and never really looked back.
So you moved, where in the West Country was that you moved to as a child?
Originally it was near Devizes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then they're more Trowbridge way now.
Yeah, so nice.
Yeah.
And family still there?
Yeah.
Trowbridge is a good place to be.
Yeah, it's all happening in Trowbridge.
And you come to, now we're in Romford now. How did you come to be in this neck of the woods?
So I studied in Whitechapel in East London. And then, slowly but surely, we just moved further and further into suburbia. Which
you
actually...
What? Was that fine art?
Yeah, that was fine art. I met my partner. She was living in a similar area, sort of Hackney way. Yeah. We were sort of living there we must have been there for 10 years or... But we just slowly moved further and further out.
There's a bit of difference between Trowbridge and Hackney, isn't there?
Yeah, I suppose it was... was a bit of a culture shock.
But how did you feel coming into the very urban area from a very...
What, rural?
Yeah, rural is the word.
When you're younger, it's exciting, isn't it? The city's more to do. There's nothing much to do out in the West Country, no. You know. We weren't in a town or anything. It was very rural.
But the in and around there now is quite arty, isn't it, around that area?
There's an art scene. I don't know really if it's... the same kind of thing I'm into. I mean, Bristol is very good,
yeah,
for its art scene, and obviously very sort of well known for sort of street art and that kind of thing. So I think if I'd have stayed west, I probably would have headed towards Bristol, because, yeah, Bristol's really nice.
Of course.
Bath's nice as well, but I think the art scene in Bath is very different,
yeah,
from the Bristol art scene.
When was it you done your degree?
When?
Yeah.
Must have been late 90s, sort of. Okay. I think I finished in 2000.
And did you want to go on to become an artist then?
No, not really. If anything, I come out of college thinking, well, I just don't think it's for me.
Oh, wow, okay.
it was just, what they were teaching at the time was very different from what I knew about, yeah, art. You know, they were very conceptually led, very looking at a lot of multimedia and video installation and, you know, quite,
yeah,
sort of edgy, sort of, but I was a bit more traditional, and I think maybe painting wasn't fashionable,
yeah,
really, well, at that time. I think it's come back a little bit, it's becoming a bit more.
Well, I've got a friend who echoes what you're saying, but sort of several years before. But he was at Goldsmiths with Damien Hirst and all of that Freeze lot. And that was at the boom when it was conceptual rather than painting. And he just carried on painting, even though they was all saying painting's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And funny enough, now Damien Hirst is back to painting.
Yeah, back to painting, yeah. With his Blossom
exactly.
series and all that, yeah.
So you come out of uni, you was a bit disheartened with the art world at that point. So did you not want to make art from there?
I was painting a little, but it just slowed up. And then I just got into doing sort of regular work, just working really. I didn't really paint very much for a few years. But then we actually went to see the Dismal Land in Weston.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And that was just fantastic. And I was really inspired, and I saw there was a lot of decent painters there, and I was thinking, well, this is more my thing, yeah, you know? This is more accessible to regular people rather than, you know, when you go in sort of White Cube or something like that. It's not necessarily accessible to the common people. Yeah. So I thought that was really good. It inspired me to go, like, come on, you got to do some more painting. Paint what you want to paint, you know?
There was always painting going on. It's just it was so overwhelmed at the turn of the millennium that, the conceptual side took over. But I went to Dismal Land myself, and, it was a bloody inspiration, wasn't it?
It just changed everything for me about art, because I wasn't really looking at art at the time anyway, really. It crossed over from street art and fine art and even video and installation even, but it actually put that in a context that I think a lot of people could identify with, and it really changed
everything. Even though you'd been painting all of the time, just every now and then even though you was just keeping your hand within the skill, did Dismal Land change the way that you painted? Or just change what you painted?
I think it was the first time I thought, I could see people just painting what they wanted to paint and how they wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And it made me think, do you know what, I'm gonna try and paint what I... Nice. You know, because I'd been photographing a lot of the subjects anyway. And then I just thought, do you know what, I'm going to do some paintings that I want to do rather than just doing people's cats and dogs, which is... And then it was just... Okay, I'm going to do this. And I did a series of about 3 or 4 pieces where I was like, right, I want to do these subjects and I'm going to colour it like this. And I started thinking about, I'd started using computers anyway and digital, Photoshop and stuff like that. So I was like, right, I'm going to recolour it first, the images, and then I'm going to paint from that. And that's when it sort of clicked for me, this is how I'm going to do it, you know. And then it wasn't long after that where I thought, I'm going to put this into that competition. And I submitted one of them to the Landscape Artist of the Year.
Yeah.
And then forgot all about it. Until I got a phone call like, you've been selected, you're going to be on TV.
And how did you find that experience? That's a leap from... not been painting for a few years, sort of discovering it again, if you like, taking a chance.
It was quite difficult because I realised I haven't actually got any work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because they were asking me, what else you got? Have you got a website and all this? I was just, no. And it was a bit of a blag, really. You know, I've got a bit, I'm just digging out, digging things out.
From uni and college and
whatnot. Well, a lot of that had just gone anyway.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like much of a back catalogue, that had all just vanished.
Shit.
So it was a bit like, your coursework's due.
And how did you get on with that? So you get a phone call from them to say, did it say that you had been... accepted, or that you're on a shortlist, or
no, you're in. You're basically saying you're in.
And that was 2017's.
Yeah, and then the way it works for people that haven't seen that is that there's about, I think there's 8 people in each heat, and they stick you in a little booth, and you have to paint the scene, and in 4 hours. So
you, how it's long not, did a painting take you before that?
About 4 weeks.
So you've obviously had to adjust the way you paint to condense it into that.
You just got, you know, and you're not really working from, I was working from photographs, and then you're back to old school, you're back to like sitting outside with an easel and
nice.
And you've got, yeah, a really short period of time. So at that time I was like, right, okay, we've got until, yeah, I can't remember when it was filmed, like June or something.
Yeah, the year before.
So we went out every weekend to a different location, went to some nice places, like, where did we go? We went to, sat at a windmill for the afternoon.
Oh, so they took you to a few...
No, I mean, this is the training.
Oh,
this is me in training.
Sorry, okay.
Yeah, it's like, right, get back in training, I've got to do some paintings, get back into it.
So how did you find that training yourself to do a painting in 4 hours?
Yeah, it was all right. It was sort of fun, but sometimes it'd be quick, and sometimes you'd get bored. You know?
Yeah, well, the judges are good enough to know that, you know, to allow that 4 hours isn't the time to finish a.
Yeah, I suppose, but it depends on your style, because there was people there that were, you know, well oiled at doing that sort of practice, and they would go out and you could tell they had all the kit, you know.
Yeah, all the field supplies.
Yeah, yeah.
And you turn up with if you don't mind me saying,
carry it back.
No, you had a red metal
mechanics
toolbox, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I think we got that car boot sale.
So you turn up with several other artists. Because you haven't painted for a while, it's got to be a bit of a pressure on you, hasn't it?
It was a little bit, but to be honest, the first heat, I wasn't taking it entirely seriously. You know, I was enjoying myself, because it was just a bit of fun, really. You know, it was nice, because to be there with all the professionals and that, really. But it really got me back into painting. It gave me...
The first boost
I needed, I think.
On the first episode, was you the only amateur artist?
I can't remember exactly.
I think on one of them, you was the only amateur.
It must have been the first
one. And everyone
one,
else
yeah.
was professional.
But that was it. There was a lot of professionals there. Shit. Yeah.
And was that intimidating?
No.
Good.
No, it got more intimidating and more stressful the further it went on.
Oh,
so
did
obviously,
it?
I won that heat. Got into the semi-finals, then it suddenly became...
Real, yeah.
Yeah, and the pressure was on. And so the semi-final, we just had our little baby boy, and literally days before.
Wow.
So we was just exhausted. And the whole thing was quite traumatic.
So on the first one of them you'd done a lavender field...
Yeah, that was the semi-final.
I was at the semi-final. And on that, I was like cheering when I saw it, because you pointed yourself in the direction of this monster pylon that was over to one side.
Yeah, I wanted to get a pylon in there somewhere.
Because they thought that was quite brave, the judges, didn't they?
Yeah.
How were they...
I think they were into it.
Because I remember Tyshan Schierenberg mentioned that he liked the pylon being... brought in, and it was quite bold.
He was a nice chap. They were all nice. It was all, you know, totally positive experience, and yeah, everyone should have a go, really.
Yeah. And so you got to the semi-finals with that one.
Yeah.
Then they took, was it three people from there into the final?
Yeah.
And obviously you was one of those.
Yeah, I scraped in there.
So, and you're saying you scraped in there, you didn't. You fucking flew in.
All right, I stormed it.
Right, yeah, you stormed it. And that's not how you like to speak. But you saw that from the first episode. You were sort of throwing it away as if it was just all by chance and all by luck, and it weren't, because there was a fucking lot of skill on that canvas. So yeah, good.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And, yeah, going into the final, pressure?
Yeah, too much pressure for me when it got to that. And, like, the landscape for me wasn't inspiring. It was a lake with some trees.
There was nothing there, was there?
And I just didn't happen. It wasn't happening.
Because on the final, it was a lake and there was, like, a little boathouse.
Yeah, but it was miles away.
Oh, was it? Okay. But that's all you had to focus on. Yeah, there wasn't green and sky, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just wasn't happening.
And you found between a little clearing of the trees, which for me personally, that's that little bit of loneliness that you was looking for. This beautiful environment, and a fucking empty bench is a lonely looking thing, isn't it? And that's what you found. You found that little bit of loneliness, that discarded object amongst the beauty, which is what you do in your work.
Which is what I do, really. But maybe I should have gone for the postcard shot, really. But I don't think it made much difference, you know.
Yeah.
It just wasn't...
It was an hard environment. If they would have took you to Brick Lane, you'd have been all right, wouldn't you?
Yeah, give me, you know, some oil rigs or crane or something.
Yeah, something a bit industrious.
But the commission I did for Chatley Whitfield was amazing, and that was actually the best day, because they send you out, the finalists, they send you out to different locations to work, and then you produce a painting based on those environments, and that was the best one I did.
Good. Well, when they showed you walking through that country path, or that forest path, and you was just like, there's trees, there's more trees.
To be honest, I'm not very good at trees. I've got a bit better. I have got better at trees.
Yeah, but come on. I'm not a landscape painter, but I'm very well aware that not many landscape painters like to draw in a forest scene, because it is just green after green after green. And you've dabbled from leaving university until 2016, when you entered the Landscape Artist of the Year. Did that stoke the fires up?
Oh, definitely. I mean, because it was such a positive experience.
Yeah.
You know, it really was. It was just really positive. And then out of that came a lot of opportunities. People were interested. And, you know, everyone was very encouraging. Say, well, you know, you should be doing this professionally. Yeah. Get on with it.
It's so easy for them to say that. Yeah. I mean, baby at home,
but that's it. It's, you know, you've still got to work. Yeah. But you know, so I, you know, it's just a bit of graft, isn't it? Get into it, get doing it, make more work. And so I haven't really stopped since. It's good.
Good. And did you get attached to a gallery after that, or was you just selling it yourself?
Yeah, just selling it myself, really. I got a few things out of that. I did a show in America,
nice,
which was good. Got to go to California and, you know, got on a beach and
that ain't bad,
all
is
that.
It?
That was good. And then since then, out in China as well, invited to China for three weeks.
What, to paint out there?
Painting out in China. Met some, you know, really...
What was that for, a commission?
It was an exchange program. They took, I think there was eight of us, they took out there, and it was an academy that we were all based at an academy in, and it's... And then they took us around lots of different... There's a lot of mountains in China. They love mountains.
How are you with mountains? All right.
Yeah, not bad. Getting better at mountains, trees. But, you know, that's what they like. They really like a river, mountains, trees.
Yeah. Just, and how did that come out?
That was really... But, I mean, again, just really positive experience. Fantastic to see all that and, you know, traipse up some mountains. Really hot there. You don't appreciate it. It's very, very hot. Very humid. Rained, absolutely tip down rain every day. And that's funny. You might see they always carry an umbrella.
Yeah.
And that's for sun and rain. But you don't, because even if it's a glorious sunny day, and then 3 o'clock, like almost on the dot every day, torrential rain.
Wow.
So
there's no field punting for you then?
Oh no, you're under your umbrella. Really good fun. I was doing mainly pencil because I found like a lot of people were like lugging about easels and stuff like that, but
No.
Rucksack, pad of paper, pencils. And taking a lot of photographs. So,
and when was that? That was
2019. Yeah, that was really good.
And obviously, at the start of 2019, pandemic hit.
That, I think it was just after. It was, it wasn't long after I got back. So I remember
you weren't in that Wuhan area
No.
You didn't bring it back. Have I got the source of fucking COVID?
Well, China's really big.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, it wasn't long after that it became... but we had planned to do an exhibition. It was part of that project. There was meant to be an exhibition in London, which got cancelled. So it was really disappointing because it was just like, everything locked down, didn't it? And it was like, nah.
So did your work pause for that 2 years of lockdown?
No, we kicked on through that. But it was just, you had to change everything. There was the artist support pledge that was going on, which was really good.
Yeah.
So I was doing some work for that and just doing small scale pieces. And then everything just getting sent out in the mail.
Nice.
And that's still going on. I'm still doing the miniature eyesore series.
Oh, nice.
So I think I'm up to like 65, 66 or something like that. Brilliant. So that's going well. Because I'm just looking at sort of really, really weird little... sort of subjects, and then just doing a little painting, 12 by 12 centimetre squares.
It's just little objects you're finding coming across?
Yeah, just on your travels, you know, like a burnt out car.
Nice.
Or,
love it.
You know, an abandoned teddy bear somewhere. You know, just weird little discrepancies that you find in the world. And just like more small scale than doing the full landscape. You're just focusing in like a little fragment.
I love it.
And so that's still going on. Just rolled on with that.
And which piece that you've created do you think has got the strongest emotional connection?
Emotional connection. Well, I did a still life of some teacups from the hospital. Tea in the Labour Ward, it's called. And that's probably the most autobiographical piece I've done. It's quite still. It's just like a little moment at probably about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Nice.
Just a little quiet moment. Just simple, little still life.
Yeah.
Quite traditional, really.
Nice.
Of just some NHS-style teacups.
Well, still life. I've gone around art fairs. I've seen that still lifes are coming back with vengeance.
Yeah, there's some nice stuff out there. I can't remember her name, but this lady does... polythene bags in pencils. It's beautiful work. I have to dig it out and send you the link.
It's not Nettie Wakefield, is it?
I can't remember. I'm terrible with names.
That's quite all right. She was at Dismal Land. She'd done the backs of the heads.
Oh yeah, that was wonderful.
Right. She'd just recently done a couple of carrier bags and like beer cans have been trodden.
Send me the link on Insta, that'd be good.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember those. They were really good.
If there was you and five other artists, past and present, what would your ideal group show be?
So I could... any artist from the whole of time?
Yeah. From today to time immemorial.
Well, it's difficult because I don't know if I'd fit in with all the artists I'd choose. I'm not on that level.
Oh, you don't have to.
It'd be a fun show. Maybe they could put my work in the bar or something. Let's have a bit of Warhol. We have some, what about some Leonardo da Vinci? Who else would we have? Mix it up a bit. What about some Jackson Pollock? Put some of there in there. Maybe some bacon.
Love bacon.
Where are we up to?
Four.
Four. Oh. More about a nice bit of Rothko.
Nice.
So there you go. There's five. Easy. I don't know if they'd all go together, but it'd be nice. That'd be my ideal series of work in my living room.
Well, bacon very much pulls out the ugly from the beautiful, doesn't it?
Yeah. The sort of the trauma and the turmoil.
What would you like to do if you weren't an artist?
Well, have I got to choose my ideal career? I'd have to be something really amazing, like astronaut. You could choose anything.
You wouldn't be a maintenance guy?
No, ideally not. And if I was, I'd have to be like, you know, maintenance manager. Or, you know, yeah, maybe I've got my own firm. With my own
promotion.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Anything coming up?
Well, we've got the New Artist Fair, which is 23rd, 24th, 25th of September, which is going to be really good. Lots of good artists there. Brick Lane, Truman Brewery.
Have you done it before?
Yeah, we did it a few years back, maybe 2018, something like that.
And how do you find... It's a very different world, isn't it? Putting your artwork in a gallery or in an art fair.
But it's really fun, you know, and... I haven't done one for a couple of years, so I was going to do the Brighton one, but I couldn't get down there, so I thought, I'll do the Brick Lane one, because it's just at the end of the train line.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But it's really fun. You get to meet lots of people, and it's easy vibes, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be good. Just if you're into art, just head down, have a look around. Lots of different types of artists. There's no restrictions really on what people are doing,
no.
Just what they want to do. It gives everyone an opportunity to put their work on the wall and then connect directly with the public. Yeah. So it's...
Well, I've visited dozens of different art fairs, never put my work in one until early last year. Yeah, it's a whole new environment, isn't it? Just having a conveyor belt of people walking past, striking up conversations.
It is. It can be a bit intense, but...
But normally, I mean, an artist is normally just sat on their own in their studio.
Yeah, I much prefer that.
when they put the work in the show, they might be there for the private view and then that's it. So we don't really have a relationship with our artwork when it's hanging on the wall. An art fair... You've got no choice. It is,
but that that's why it's good as well, because exactly. I think it's a bit more like just like working in retail or working on a market stall. It's got that, and that's why it's a bit more fun, because the people have got to be there.
Yeah,
and there's like you say, there's a disconnect, isn't there, between an artist and his work in a lot of these galleries, whereas at these art fairs it is a bit more like. Right, you're there.
Here it is. What do you want? Yeah.
I've got a question about this, like, I'm here.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Yeah, it's...
And what sort of work are you showing?
I think I'm going to have about 9 paintings. The larger ones, I say now, are only 40 by 40 centimetres, so they're still quite small. But I've gone a lot smaller scale in this series. I'm going to have them on the wall. I'm going to have some of the miniature eyesores.
Nice.
And I'm going to have some prints. So there's going to be small ticket prices, you know, for some stuff.
That's what's going to go next with the prices.
Sort of accessible. And then right up to the sort of big ones on the back wall.
And the actual prices, am I roughly from what to what?
I'm going to have some prints available there for around £50.
Nice.
And then... The prices so go all the way up to about £1,000 for the larger pieces. But yeah, I try and keep it so there's a range of, you know, stuff available. But that's how I learnt to do it, is that you got some stuff that's sort of affordable stuff that you can, you know, off the shelf sort of prices, and then you've got some more expensive pieces that, you know.
And how many are you showing? 9.
I've got 9 of the paintings to go up, and I think I'm going to have some of the smaller ones as well. I'm going to have about 8 or 9 of the smaller ones, hopefully, by then. I've got a few more on the go. it's more accessible for people. The smaller ones they don't break the bank. Got the prints as well, which start at about £50. But I'm having a bit of a clear out as well, so it might be some bargains. Perfect.
That's the perfect thing to do, and the perfect time to do it as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the New Artist Fair, 23rd, 24th, 25th of September at the Truman Brewery in Brick Lane.
Where can people find your work, be it online, website, social media?
Yeah, website, bewarethevoid.com.
Where did the name come from?
Can't remember. Just sounded cool. Because the idea of my landscapes and the interiors, they're meant to be sort of scenes from a movie that's never been made, you know. Nice. They've just got that sort of cinematic quality.
Bewarethevoid.com.
Also on Instagram and all of that.
And what is it on Instagram?
Same. Beware the Void.
But it's there's underscores, isn't there?
Yeah. But you'll find it. You'll find it. Type it into the internet.
There's
you'll
not many
find
of them
it.
In there, is there? Right. Well, John?
It's been lovely.
I'll see you at the
You're going to the party? I'm going to see you on the Friday.
The party night.
Yeah.
I'm there on the Friday, the Saturday and the Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I'll see you there then.
I'm showing myself.
Oh, you're showing there. Oh, that's
myself.
Good.
John, thank you
nice.
For your time, mate.
Thanks very much.
I think I pressed record.
If you've got an exhibition or any other creative project within the arts, or even just want to promote your own artwork, you could do that in podcast form similar to the one you've just listened to. They start at a convenient price point that is comfortable for any artist working on a budget. This podcast itself is created by working artists, and we know how important that is. So to find out more information, you can email us on ministryofartsorg@gmail.com or on Instagram at ministryofartsorg. Ta-da!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.